when we study for an exam together with a friend, and the friend gets a better score than us. When a friend who started working at the same time as us gets a promotion before we do. How many of us would be able to say that we are absolutely 100% only happy for them? We try not to be, but more often than not, we can't help but be jealous and envious of other success. One philosopher theorized that this is because we are all perpetually suffering from chronic lack of affection. In a competitive society, it's normal for that one person at the top to hog all the attention, while the rest get pushed out of the spotlight, overshadowed, and neglected. So naturally, the vast majority of us end up feeling like always a bridesmaid, never the bride. So when we find ourselves feeling jealous, even when we don't want to, it doesn't mean that we're bad people. Maybe it just means we need a little more loving. I'm Stella Zhang, and this is One Fine Day. Welcome to One Fine Day with Lena Park. I'm the special DJ of the week, Stella Zhang, and we started today's show with BTS and their song 작은 것들을 위한 시, Boy with Love featuring Halsey. And yes, we all have those moments when we can't help but resent ourselves and think to ourselves, why am I like this? Well, I used to feel like this a lot in my 20s. And since I entered my 30s, it happens a lot less often, but it still does happen. And usually it's when other people around me accomplish some great things. I feel like I have to do the same, but I'm not on the same level, but I don't have to. And I think the problem was that I wasn't able to give myself enough credits for my own accomplishments. I just got blind. And yeah, it's at times like this that we blame ourselves and focus on our faults, and that just makes us hate ourselves even more. And of course, it turns out that's exactly what we shouldn't do. It's actually at times like those that we should take better care of ourselves, figure out what it is that we need more of, and try to be a little more caring and a little more loving. Pat, pat. So how do you show love to yourself? Do you pamper yourself with a day at a spa, go shopping, eat your favorite foods, share some of your tips, as you also tell me where you are and what you're doing right now? Because our global roll call is coming up in just a moment. Don't forget to also send in your song requests and to share your 사연들 stories and anecdotes about anything and everything as well. Nothing's too trivial. Anything goes. You can send your messages on Kong, right on the message boards on the website at world.kbs.co.kr, or leave a comment on the latest posts on Instagram at KBS One Fine Day and Facebook at facebook.com/EnglishKBS. If you have a Korean phone number, you can also send a text message at #8150. A regular SMS text will cost 51, and a long text or an MMS message will cost 101 per text. In part two of the show, we'll be joined by Professor Cynthia Yu for the Tuesday segment, OFD and Chill. So stick around to find out which movie or drama she'll tell us about today. I'll be right back with the global roll call after one more song. Here's Lee Seung-yoon and his song, 들려주고 싶었던 Unspoken. One Fine Day is coming to you live from Seoul, Korea, where it's currently 5:22 p.m. as I speak. The weather here today is very sunny and warm. Right now, I'm talking to you in a studio located on the fourth floor of the main KBS building in Yeouido, Seoul. Where are you? It's the global roll call, if you will, a chance for me to find out where in the world all my listeners are and what you're all up to right now, aside from listening to the radio, that is. Where are you? So, listener Moklisar Rahman sends, good morning from Bangladesh, best of luck. Well, good morning, and here it's good afternoon. Amir Jamil sent, hi, how are you? I am Amir Jamil from Pakistan, and I am Stella Jang from Korea. Listener Umpang Yi says, it's such a beautiful day, but I'm trapped in the library studying. Oh, poor Umpang Yi. And Shirley Katoon says, hi, I am Fress. I am a housewife. Now I stay at my home. Okay, good for you. Yunmi Jang says, DJ님 안녕하세요. It's so hot today, and I'm exhausted running around picking up my kids. But it's a happy payday, so that gives me some tiger power. It's miraculous how just some numbers in the bank account makes me feel so good. I guess a lot of people can relate to this, so, and congratulations. And HeyMe2000 says, hello, I am the teacher's. I'm at the teacher's training center right now, but I'll listen to you once I am home. Okay, so happy training. And Wanderer Walton says, like in always, I'm listening to you from my house with love from Algeria. Oh, that's all the way from Algeria, so thank you. And now let's take a look at some song requests. Gene Updates sent, hi, I am here in the Philippines, not doing much since it's the election day today, and I am nervous about the results. I am requesting Stella Jang some days because that song calms me down. Oh, that's so sweet. And Forever Lena requested a song as well. Today is the kind of day that makes my heart swell, just looking at the clean and clear sky. I want to request 사장님's 어떤 날들. Oh, so the same song request from two different listeners. Thank you. And listener John Daniel 9 says, 스하 스하, something at work made me feel down, so I stepped outside, and the weather is so clear and nice. I just want to go away somewhere, anywhere. My request song is J-Rabbit, 바람이 불어오는 곳. So let's listen to those request songs right now. First up is 어떤 날들, Some Days by me, Stella Jang. And after that, we'll listen to Jay Rabbit's version of 바람이 불어오는 곳, Where the Wind Blows. We just heard Jay Rabbit with 바람이 불어오는 곳, Where the Wind Blows, and before that, we heard my song, 어떤 날들, Some Days. And now, let me read some more messages. Listener Jisukim0801 sent, 스하, how does it feel like to be a substitute DJ for the first time in a while? You sounded much relieved after talking with Youngda yesterday. Happy airing! Well, thank you. And it was actually a lot easier for me to have someone next to me and to speak together, because I feel like I'm speaking pretty much alone. And as you all know, all might already know, English is not my first language nor my second language. So anyway, listener, I'm Kelly sent, hi Stella. Recently, I happened to listen to a new corporate jingle on a streaming site. Yes, it's your voice. Come to think of it, you've worked on quite a few of commercial and corporate jingles. Listening to your voice, I can see why you're in high demand. Well, thank you. Is this type of work relatively easier because clients provide specific detailed requests, or is it more difficult because there is less room for you to be creative? That's a very hard to... That's a question that's not very easy for me to answer, because it does have very specific detailed requests sometimes, but some other times they just give very vague details about what they want. So they just want me to make whatever that would please them. So so I have, sometimes I have enough room to be creative, but sometimes I don't. So it really depends on the type of work every time. So yeah, this is my answer. It depends. That's very French, like response. Ça dépend, you know. Listener Here I Am 0203 says, 안녕하세요, DJ 수장님. The weather's wonderful again today. I'm going to a baseball game later today. 우리 팀 화이팅! 수장님도 화이팅! Request song, 청하, Roller Coaster. Oh, I wonder what team you're a fan of. So, if you could clear out a little bit about the team you're supporting, me, I'll be waiting. And I hope your team will win today. Okay, so let's listen to Cheongha with her song Roller Coaster. Listening to One Fine Day with Lena Park on KBS World Radio. And I'm going to read some more texts that you sent in. Listener Tapey Warren said, But you are so fluent in English, Stella, very much better than mine. Well, thank you. I think I still have room for some improvements. And listener Choco Jam said, 우왕 수장님, your English is so good. Thank you. And I guess that is one of my fans because, you know, my name is Stella and it does rhyme with some very famous chocolate gem, you know. So that is how my fans call themselves. Okay, but I'm not going to say it because it's a brand name. And listener Alicia sent, My office has a party with free drinks tomorrow night, but I'm not sure if it's worth skipping another French class for, especially when tomorrow's the first lesson of the new term. I'm starting level B1 too, which is supposed to be intermediate, but I still can't get basic grammar right. I wish my French classes would shift to an in-person platform too. I started classes from beginner level in the middle of the 2020 lockdown, and I find hard to focus when learning from my own Zoom room. So my foundation is super shaky. Is it shaky? Shaky. Okay. And have you ever learned a language online? How did that go? Well, I never tried learning a language online, so I can't tell you how it went. But maybe I should give it a try, but I am really not a good focuser. I don't know. I don't have a very good concentration. So I think exactly the same thing will happen to me. I'll find it very hard to focus on the class when doing it online. But good luck with your French. And listener Amy Kimmy sends a request song in regards to today's opening. Stella Jang, I want to request Boa's Atlantis 소녀. This song lifts up your mood when you're feeling down because someone's more successful than you are, and you find yourself comparing yourself to them. Okay, so let's take a listen to Boa with her song Atlantis 소녀, Atlantis Princess. 저 먼 바다 끝에 뭐가 있을까 다른 무언가 세상과는 먼 얘기 구름 위로 올라 They're different but not entirely. Two different songs from two different parts of the world. It's like they belong to the parallel universe. It's time to listen to a couple of songs that are seemingly nothing alike, but actually somewhat similar in one way or another upon closer inspection. One K-pop track and one non-K-pop track, its parallel universe. Today we'll listen to two songs about good days. We'll start with the K-pop song Good Day by John Park. This talented singer-songwriter with a charming voice surprised all of us recently when he announced his wedding date. He'll be a married man next month. His song Good Day was a part of his first album entitled Knock, which was released in 2012, and I'd imagine that he's feeling the way the song sounds right around now, because it's a sweet, sweet love song that starts like this. Are you the same person I know? Why is my heart fluttering again when I see your face every day? I'm on the smart side, but why does it feel like the first time every time I see you? It feels like the first kiss every time. That my heart pounds so hard. My first love starts every day. And on the non-K-pop side, we'll listen to Good Day by American rock duo 21 Pilots. This Grammy Award-winning band was formed in 2009. It currently consists of vocalist Tyler Joseph and drummer Josh Dunn, and their musical style has been described as pop rock, alternative hip hop, indie indietronica, psychedelic, funk, and everything in between. Their song Good Day was a part of their 2021 album Scaled and Icy. And although the song sounds very upbeat and happy, Tyler Joseph had said in an interview that the song is about wondering how he would react if he suddenly lost everyone he held dear to him, such as family and friends. He starts the song like this. I can feel my saturation, leaving me slowly. Broke the news on mom's vacation. Oh, but you know me. Low-key, I'm all right. Would you say you depend on the weather? My sunshine is a buzz and a light. I'll be singing out. I know it's hard to believe me. It's a good day. So let's listen to these two songs right now. One real good day and one not so good day. Good Day by John Park and Good Day by 21 Pilots. The songs we just heard were Good Day by John Park and Good Day by 21 Pilots. Those were the Parallel Universe songs of the day. In part two, the expert will, with impeccable taste, Professor Cynthia Yu will join me in the studio for OFD and Chill, so don't change the channel. For now, I'll wrap up part one of the show with Unlucky by IU.
길을 쓰고 사랑해야 하는 건 아니야.
Welcome to part two of One Fine Day with Lena Park. OFD and Chill is coming right up, and Professor Cynthia will join me in the studio in just a moment. If you couldn't decide which Korean movie to watch, or which Korean drama to binge on next, or which K-star to stand now, maybe you should hear out what she recommends. But in the meantime, if you have any comments or questions, send your messages using Kong or use any of the message board on our website at world.kbs.co.kr. You can also leave your stories as comments on our latest post on Instagram at KBS One Fine Day or on Facebook at facebook.com/EnglishKBS. And if you have a Korean phone number, text me at #8150. A regular SMS text will cost 51, and a long text or an MMS message will cost 101 per text. Let's take a quick song break to give Cynthia some time to get settled in here. First up is 박세별 and her song 사랑이 우릴 다시 만나게 한다면, If Love Let Us Meet Again. And after that, we'll listen to Kim Gwangjin with 아는지, I Wish You Could Know.
사랑이 우릴 다시 만나게 해준다면 나...
At any given moment, countless titles are showing at the movie theaters, and even more dramas are there for you to binge. When every one of them is as inviting as the next, how do you decide? Just where to start? Maybe you should first OFD and chill. K-dramas have been huge for several decades, but the real secret is out now. Korean films are just as awesome, whether it be film or TV, if you've already overcome the one-inch-tall barrier of subtitles. But don't know where to start? Let OFD and Chill be your guide. Joining me in the studio is our guide and expert with a taste which is magnifique, Professor Cynthia Yu.
Ah, there you go. You're French.
Yeah, so Liz told me about this changing adjective every time. So we talked about this before coming in the studio. And she asked me whether magnifique should go before taste or after taste.
Taste magnifique.
Yeah, it's right. Taste magnifique.
Mm-hmm.
And I also try to have more adjective in mind. Like extraordinaire.
Oh, very good.
Hors du commun. Whatever. Okay. So, hi. How have you been?
Sorry. Thinking of croque-monsieur.
Oh, croque-monsieur.
It's foreign languages are always names of food, I think.
Yeah,
when it comes to my mind.
Is a name of food.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. We had a various like Children's Day, Parents' Day.
Yeah,
you know, and May is sort of the 가정의 달,
mm-hmm.
month of the family.
Month of the family. It's also month of the second, but yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I have to make a run to the local tax office. That's what I do at the end of the month.
Yeah.
You know, to figure out whether I get any money back or not. No, mm-hmm. actually, I have to pay some money usually in May.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
It's better to pay money than to get back.
Oh, it's worse to, I guess, have to pay a penalty later on for not paying.
I mean, it's better to pay the tax than to get some money back from your spendings on the on the previous year.
Okay, got it.
Well, anyway, we didn't want to talk about the taxes, but
no,
it's somehow, just something that's in my mind like since the beginning of May.
I always tell my students, you know, because we go into these asides like mm-hmm. during our lectures, I say, there we go, we just arrived in Samcheongpo again,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Well, you mentioned magnifique, and, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to talk about a magnifique star,
mm-hmm.
A star unfortunately we lost this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the wonderful Kang Soo-yeon, Soo-yeon Kang.
Such a wonderful actress.
Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
right. You know, she was a very internationally acclaimed star.
Mm-hmm.
She was very prolific during the mid-80s until the end of the 1990s.
Yeah.
Despite her young age,
mm-hmm.
you know, she passed away quite young at the age of 55 this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But her career actually spanned more than 50 years.
Wow. She started super young.
Super young. Sort of Korean age 4 years, but really, technically, she debuted
she like
at
two.
The age of 3.
Oh.
Right.
Okay, but so she was a idol?
Yeah.
She was a child star?
A Kilgori casting.
Wow.
A talent scout agent scouted her on the street.
Mm-hmm.
A toddler, basically, you know, 3 years old. But apparently, she debuted at MBC, Gongche
mm-hmm.
Ilgi.
Oh.
So she was actually part of the first generation of actors and actresses from MBC.
Oh.
At the age of 3.
At the age of 3?
At the age of three.
So she had to pass the auditions, like, at the age
I
of
guess
3?
So. I don't know what they made her do.
Was she even able to, I don't know, memorize the lines?
I know. It's probably, like, cry on cue.
Yeah.
Laugh on cue.
Yeah. But definitely she had talents. So.
Yeah. I mean, she was the perfect combination.
Mm-hmm.
She was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, her kind of, in Korean, we call it 이목구비, you know, the eyes, nose, and mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were quite very, in some ways, not Korean and not typically Korean facial features,
right? Now that I think of it, yeah.
But of course, in addition, she was so talented as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, she was quite the perfectionist.
Oh.
She was very professional.
Okay.
She didn't ever just rest on her laurels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the combination of these three factors, you know, were part of the reason why she became such a popular and esteemed actress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's clear, I mean, just over the age of 20, I think she was maybe just on the cusp of 20 years old when she won the first ever international film
award.
Festival, mm-hmm. you know, award from the Venice Film Festival for her work in Shibaji, or The Surrogate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then afterwards, you know, she won more awards, not only in Korea with Taejong-sang, the Grand Bell,
mm-hmm.
or Cheongnyong 영화상 The Blue Dragon, 백상, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But she continued to win international acclaim as well. I believe she won also Best Actress in the Russian Film Festival, the Moscow International Film Festival.
Kind of at the origin of all our international film stars.
Right.
She was before Parasite, before Ojingo Game, like Squid Games and everything.
Right. Yeah. She was the original sort of first world star that the Korean entertainment industry produced. Mm-hmm. Right. But as we mentioned, she began her career as a child. From the age of three. Now, she broke that kind of myth that, you know, a lot of child stars don't make it when they grow up.
Yeah, and that is true for a lot of people.
Right. But she continued to do great work. She was very popular in a KBS drama called A High School Student's Diary with Song Chan-min.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the mid-80s. And she had some breakout roles in comedy films like Whale Hunting 2. It sounds kind of funny to our non-Korean audience, but they might recognize 고래 사냥.
Yeah.
Right? And this rarely kind of, I think, kind of a genre-making film called Mimi and Charsu's Youth Sketch. Mimi wa Charsu 청춘 스케치. That came out in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
It had a really hilarious opening. They showed the film opened with clips of Richard Gere, Brooke Shields, Phoebe Cates. You may not recognize these actors because they were very famous in the 80s.
I know their names.
You know their names. Okay. And then, you know, there was this sort of voice actor saying, you know, who called out their names and said, but, you know, our film doesn't have anything to do with them. So it starts out with this kind of, you know, joke, right?
So they by showing these images, they try to lower the expectation from the beginning.
Yes, but also to say, hey, we're going to do a something teen different. Comedy with you. You know, this may not have feature Hollywood stars, right? It's not like, you know, Phoebe Cates kind of Hollywood teen comedies, but we're going to do our own with Mimi and Charsu.
That's very witty.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it begins with a shot of Mimi, played by Kang Soo-yeon, wearing this really short, tight mini skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And she's walking the streets. And it's a story of her falling in love with Charsu and meeting other friends at college. So it's sort of about the kind of Chongchun sketch, you know, sketch of youth at the college campuses.
Yeah, I read something about this movie while I was searching for some articles about Kang Soo-yeon.
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone saying that if the early 2000s 청춘 영화, youth film would be 엽기적인 그녀.
Right.
This would be the 엽기적인 그녀 of the 80s.
Yes, that's right. I was actually thinking the same thing when I was reading about this movie as well. The description of Kang Soo-yeon's character Mimi, she is a free spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, you know, when you see some of the clips and the photos of Mimi, she seems actually right on point in today's sort of fashion styles. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, the 80s are back and then the 80s are back.
Because retro is back again and, fashion is 돌고 돈다, you know.
You know, denim on denim.
Yeah.
청 on 청.
Mm-hmm.
So, so she had these run of very popular films, but she was still not as famous, of course, outside of Korea until her breakout role in director Im Kwon-taek's Shibaji, or The Surrogate Woman, that came out in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
She won the Volpi Cup for Best Actress at the Venice International Film Festival in 1987, which was the first ever, first ever Korean actor to win such an award at a major international film festival.
That must have been, was it very popular in Korea?
The film was not popular in Korea, actually. It sort of failed, I think, bombed at the box office. but it did very well on the film festival circuit, winning one of the three kind of major film festivals. You know, it's Cannes, Berlin, and Venice, right?
Yeah.
So I think she really led the way for, you know, actresses after her, like Chun Do-yeon and Moon So-ri, to also do well in, on the global stage.
Yeah.
And then she followed it up with another Best Actress Award at the 16th Moscow International Film Festival for another work she did with Im Geum-taek, Come, Come, Come Upward. That came out in 1989, which, of course, cemented her title as the world star.
Yeah.
That's right. Hallyu before even Hallyu, right?
Yeah, there wasn't the name of the Hallyu at this in this era.
That's right. And then, but, you know, from the early 2000 onwards, her kind of film appearances kind of slowed down. And then she switched to acting on the small screen, where she became very famous and successful for a role that you remember.
I remember, yeah.
In a very, very popular
historical drama. Show. And so, 자극적인, you know, it was a spicy drama.
It was all about intrigue, right?
Yeah.
Court intrigue. Already the title of the series, Ladies of the Palace, or 여인전화.
I think if I watch it right now, it would still be so interesting. Because I don't remember the plot at all. I just remember 정난정, the Kang Soo-yeon's face at the end of every sequence.
She actually asked for that. You know, this was her return to the small screen. And, you know, she's a big world star, right? And so in some ways, in the Korean entertainment industry at the time, you know, to move from cinema to drama is a little bit of a, you know, going down in scale, right?
Oh, okay.
So she got it, you know, she was paid actually about 500만 원 or $5,000 per
in
episode,
2001.
Which was a record at the time, the highest paid actress on TV. Plus, she asked for that kind of, you know, the closing
clip. The spotlight at the end.
Right.
Yeah, but that actually really got my eyes because I can remember that. I was nine. I was 9 or 10. I think there are some... A very few things that are left in my mind about 여인전화, it's this 뇌야 and that face at the end. I should watch it again.
Well, you know, I think the ratings for that show was really high, around 36%, apparently.
Yeah, so my parents watched it, so that's why I was watching it when I was nine.
Well, you know, one of the sort of sad things about her, you know, shocking kind of, you know, death, this past weekend is that she finished filming a new series with director Yeon Sang-ho, famous for Busan Heng, Train to Busan, and Bando, right? She worked on the original series called Jeong-i.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would have been really interested in it. I think it's a sci-fi series. It's a sci-fi fantasy, kind of set in the future, dystopia, right?
Yeah.
Big future. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unfortunately, she passed away this weekend after collapsing from a cerebral hemorrhage at her home here in Seoul.
Oh, so this film would be her last work?
Right, yes. It's going to be released later this year on a global OTT site.
Okay. I'll try to check out. And this was after a 9-year gap.
Yeah, 9-year gap. I mean, she kept busy during that time. I think she was very involved with the Busan International Film Festival. But yes, she didn't appear in any kind of major dramatic productions during that time.
Okay, so how did you choose the songs for today? So are these songs that have something to do with Kang Soo-yeon's filmography?
Yes, I believe some of them are. You know, our PD tried her best to find some interesting songs from you. So I think some of these songs will take our listeners back to memory lane if they were alive at that time. So songs from the 80s and 90s and... more recently, you know, inspired by her movies.
Okay. So let's have a quick song break right now with the first song that we have today, which is 김현철 이소라 with their song 그대 안에 Blue, Blue in You. We just listened to 김현철 이소라 with their song 그대 안에 Blue, Blue in You, which actually became even more famous than the movie itself, because I didn't know that it was an OST of a movie. Shame on me. But so the actress Kang Soo-yeon was in the movie 그대 안에 Blue, and the song was part of the soundtrack, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now I thought, you know, we could continue on talking about perhaps her most acclaimed work. Mm-hmm. Right, Shibaji, or the surrogate woman.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it never occurred to me how young she was when she filmed this movie. I think she just turned 20, or perhaps she was 19 or 20 at the time, because the movie came out in 1987.
Right? Yeah.
And as you know, she's born in 1966. So
yeah, so she must have been like 19 or 20
at the time, right? To work with such a master like Im Kwon-taek,
yeah,
you know, on a very kind of how do I say, like, Shibaji itself, you know, the surrogate woman, the mm-hmm. English translation doesn't quite do it justice.
It
does have a very kind of not erotic, but when I saw the film poster for it, I mean, the way she was in the back, red backdrop.
Yeah. And it immediately makes you think that it's something, I don't know. It has something repulsive about the title for
that's
me.
That's right, of course. Yeah, the term itself is very, it means someone who just receives the
a little bit degrading.
Right. Yeah. So I remember watching this film when I was younger as well. Mm-hmm. And I remember being a little shocked by some of the scenes. But let's first go over maybe the basic plot so that the folks who haven't seen the movie mm-hmm. might be a little bit more grounded in the story. The movie, directed by Im Kwon-taek, deals with this love affair between a yangban, a mm-hmm. rich aristocratic man, mm-hmm. and a poor servant, of course, Kang Soo-yeon, during the sort of the latter phase or the later part of the Joseon dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And this film, of course, won multiple awards at, you know, the Asian Film Festival in 1987. It also, you know, Kang Soo-yeon also won Best Actress Award at the Venice Film Festival.
Yeah.
But as you said, you know, it has a sort of shocking sort of topic.
Yeah.
You know, the surrogate. She's not even a concubine. The practice at the time is mm-hmm. if the sort of the first wife, the legal wife, mm-hmm. couldn't bear a son, the practice would have been to take a concubine
mm-hmm.
to perhaps, you know, try to bear sons for the lineage, for the family, to mm-hmm. continue the family line, because mm-hmm. only male heirs could inherit the family name.
Mm-hmm.
But a more usual practice for aristocrats or yangban would be actually to adopt a male relative, like mm-hmm. maybe a nephew or a grandnephew, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, there was actually talk after this movie came out whether this is sort of a historical, whether it was historically accurate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether this was a common practice among the yangban or the, you know, the aristocrats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uncertain if that's the case. But I think Im Kwon-taek, the director's sort of goal for telling this story wasn't about historical accuracy, but he was actually trying to, I think, criticize the patriarchy, right, in Korean society.
Yeah, and to make it on purpose, more shocking,
right,
so that people would be alarmed about
it. Oh, you know, it's easier to sort of stomach stories like this if it's set in the past,
mm-hmm.
you know, back then, or maybe our great grandmothers had to go through that.
Yeah.
But anyone watching this movie would realize, oh, it's still the case that only men really inherit.
And somehow, some parts of the movie still is true.
In right. The Chesa rites can only be performed by the male heirs, right? There's still very strong strains of these patriarchal customs and traditions here in, you know, current Korean society.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still have to make a movie. We can't just, you know, sort of patronize the audience. So the story is about this young girl, Ong Nyo, who's played by actress Kang Soo-yeon, and she is taken in by this family, the Shins, because the first wife is unable to conceive a male heir. And, you know, Ong Nyo is poor, but she's very feisty. You know, she's beautiful and feisty. She has a temper. She has personality, right? And maybe because of that, the Mr. Shin,
Mr. Shin, the nobleman,
right, falls in love with her. You know, he's attracted to her and he falls in love with her. The wife sees this, so she tries in every way to degrade Ong Nyo, right? To make she can't go outside in daylight. She has to stay in her room, and the first wife, you know, designates the time or the dates in which they can have, you know, sort of sexual relations to produce a baby, right? And I won't give away the ending, but it's a little sad.
Yeah, so behind this shocking poster and the title, there is actually a very sad story and also some kind of
Yeah, it's actually a critical look, I think.
Yeah.
It's a critical look and critical comment on the patriarchal system that you see here in Korea.
Okay, so let's talk more about Kang Soo-yeon's other works after listening to one more song, which is Song Chang-sik with his song 고래사냥, Whale Hunt, because she was in the movie 고래사냥. So this was Song Chang-sik with his song 고래사냥, Whale Hunt. So Kang Soo-yeon was in the movie 고래사냥, but this song was not a part of the movie soundtrack, but we picked it just because it had the same title.
We did our best.
And let's pursue
it's
on.
It's a great song, actually.
It's a great song. It's, it's a really great voice, great songwriting. And so what film are we going to talk about right now?
Yeah, we're going to talk about her second sort of major work with the maestro Im Kwon-taek.
Yeah.
아재, 아재, 바래, 아재. Come, come, come upwards.
Oh.
Now, this title refers to what some of the final lines in a very popular and, I guess, important Buddhist song or poem.
Yeah, I guess because... I remember back when I was very, very young, I would read some comic books. And in those comic books, there were characters who would just be mad at their parents and they would just go into some Buddhist temple and they tell their parents, I'm just going to shave my head and go 아재, 아재, 바라, 아재, you know.
Oh, yeah. So it actually means 가자, 가자, 넘어가자.
Oh.
So it means keep going and going until we upwards, or I think until we, you know, move on. I think I'm guessing it may mean like, you know, move beyond human suffering.
Oh,
you know, that's sort of always the whole point of Buddhism, right? To go beyond the circle of suffering. To, you know,
And to be over everything and to look downwards.
So, yeah, it's a fitting title for the story, right?
Yeah.
The story is about this woman named Sunyeo, played by Kang Soo-yeon, who is having a tough time after she joins a Buddhist temple to become a nun. She joins the temple because, of course, she's escaping her unhappy life. She lost her father. And then, you know, she doesn't have a good relationship with her mother, and her mother seeing a new man. And, you know, it's you know, it's just a difficult situation for her. So she decides to, as you say, shave her head and become a nun. But she, in the temple as well, she experiences problems with other, you know, monks and nuns. Mm-hmm. And she, I think, runs away.
From the temple.
From the temple. But she, you know, meets a man who tries to commit suicide, and she tries to help him. I think she works at a hospital at some point as a nurse, and she learns about sacrifice, self-sacrifice. And at the end of the story, she is able to return to the temple to fulfill, to complete her journey to become a nun.
So it's coming upward.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this movie is actually based on a novel of the same name by writer Han Seung-won, right? An acclaimed writer. And he actually also wrote the screenplay scenario for this movie.
Right? Okay. So is it common for...
No, it's not. I don't think it's common for the writer to adapt their original works for a movie.
Film version.
But I think the opportunity to work with a director like Im Kwon-taek, and then, of course, you know, these great actresses must have persuaded Han Seung-won to adapt his novel into this movie.
And this movie just got tons of awards from everywhere.
Yes, it won lots of awards, you know, at in Korean film awards, like the Grand Bell Award, and won Best Film, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, you know. And then, of course, she won the Bronze St. George Award for Best Actress at the 16th Moscow International Film Festival.
Wow.
It's the Moscow Film International Film Festival is not a major film festival anymore, but at the time it was one of the major sort of international film festivals at the time. So this was quite an honor for her.
Yeah.
And of course, the film also won awards at the Paeksang Awards and the Korean Film Critics Awards as well. So did very well indeed.
Kind of received all the awards she could receive, like, from the film.
That's right. You know, it after winning, you know, the Bronze St. George at the Moscow International Film Festival, it really cemented her title as a world star.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we mentioned that it was the first time. Later, actress Lee Hae-suk won at the Montreal Film Festival, and Lee Deok-hwa at the Moscow International Film Festival, you know, in the 1990s.
So it started quite early than I thought, because I thought that Korean movie stars and Korean movies are getting recognition only very recently.
Right. Well, for me, you know, it was 1994, right? Park Chan-wook, and then later Bong Joon-ho, right? The sort of like the golden wave of Korean cinema, right? Nouvelle cinema in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
But it started actually in the 80s with Kang Soo-yeon and director Im Kwon-taek.
So it's been almost 50 years now. So for our next song break, we'll listen to 오늘은 어떤 일이? What Would Happen Today by Son Hyun-hee from the soundtrack of her movie 청춘 스케치. We talked about the movie before. As well as the song 빙글빙글, Round and Round, from the soundtrack of the movie Sunny, for which she made a cameo appearance. But apparently, she didn't she wasn't even there as a person. She was just a picture. She did her cameo appearance as a picture.
I see.
So when I was when I was told about that, I was like, oh, okay. So does that still count as a cameo appearance? But apparently, yes. Yeah. So let's take a listen. This is Son Hyun-hee, 오늘은 어떤 일이? What Would Happen Today? An OST from 청춘 스케치 and Sunny, 빙글빙글, Round and Round. We We just heard Sunny's Bingle Bingle, Round and Round. And before that, Son Hyun-hee with her song 오늘은 어떤 일이? What would happen today? And we have some listeners' comments about our discussion today. Listener GHSKFEN90 says, Director Im Gwon-taek paid a visit at the funeral too. I saw an interview where he said Kang Soo-yeon was a very smart actor who made his movies shine. And apparently, Kang Soo-yeon had a hard time finding another role after playing the nun because she had shaved her head.
Mm, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that must have taken some time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she couldn't wear wigs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. At the time, that was quite... Like us, it was quite something, right?
Yeah.
If you actually search the movie, you'll see the photos of her being shaved, or of her head being shaved at the mm-hmm. time. But she thought she had to do it for the role, of course, for the character.
Because she was perfectionist, very professional person.
That's right.
Yeah. And there was actually the scene of shaving her head, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, but that was bold.
Right. Yeah. But I think bold is a great adjective to describe Kang Soo-yeon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this famous line from the movie Baetaerang?
Which is
우리는 돈이 없지.
가오가 없냐?
I'm sorry, not doing it with the proper Busan accent. Sorry, blueberry smoothie. But it was actually based on something that the actress Kang Soo-yeon often said at Hyeshik.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she was busy, you know, filming in the 80s and 90s, she often paid. Like out of her own pocket mm-hmm. for the Hyeshiks at the end of filming or even, you know, during it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she would often say this line during those parties.
Yeah.
우리 영화인은 돈이 없지. 가오가 없냐? You know, we filmmakers, you know, in
may
the film,
not have money.
May not be rich. We may not have much money, but we have pride.
Yeah.
Meaning we should have pride in ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And director Yoo Seung-won thought that was such a cool line. Like he thought that was so cool.
That must have been a big inspiration for starting people.
Right, for starting their career in the film industry, right?
Yeah.
You know, still today, compared to Hollywood, you know, people are paid less and they work harder hours here, right? For producing better quality films and dramas, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Another sort of interesting factoid about Kang Soo-yeon is she's apparently a really good drinker.
Oh.
She could drink everyone under table. But what really makes her scary is that she never let on that she was drunk. The only clue was, like, she would maybe, if she got drunk, would be, like, she would take off her shoes underneath the table or something. So that was a clue to see, maybe she has drunk a little bit today.
Yeah, but you don't look at her feet all the time.
So. Not really. That's not something one would do.
Yeah. And we have one more text message from mm-hmm. listener Dreamy, who says, today's songs feel like Wednesday's Gayo Top 10 list. Yeah, it might sound a little bit like that because we're playing songs of 80s mostly. And she finished, and the listener says also that she finished filming her last work for the OTT, right? Yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. It's called Cheongi. It's mm-hmm. actually in post-production now. Because they finished filming in January of this year.
Yeah.
It's written and directed by Yeon Sang-ho.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be released later this year on the global and OTT site.
Yeah.
And apparently it's about, you know, Earth in the 22nd century that's mm-hmm. no longer inhabitable due to climate change. So there is this shelter built for the sort of folks who were, you know, able to survive, the survivors, mm-hmm. but an internal war has broken out among the last remaining survivors. So I guess one side, I guess, I don't, you know, that's all we have so far, but one way of winning the war may hinge on finding a way to clone this legendary mercenary called Cheongi.
Oh.
Right? And it's Kang Soo-yeon is the lead character. She plays Hoyan, who who is this team leader of a research institute that mm-hmm. develops brain cloning and AI technology, and is responsible for cloning Jung Yi's brain and combat power tests.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is Jung Yi is actually played by actress Kim Hyun-joo.
Mm-hmm.
And actor Ryu Kyung-soo is also part of this team. And both of these actors actually were in Hellbound together last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yeah, I mean, it's very sad that this is her last work, but actress Kang Soo-hyun has certainly left a great legacy for the her hubae, mm-hmm. right, actors and actresses mm-hmm. and the Korean film industry. Because, you know, she did, we remember her for, you know, those breakout roles in Aje Aje Para Aje and Shibaji. But in the 90s, too, she worked on films that tried to change the image of women in Korean society
mm-hmm.
in feminist films like Go Alone, like The Muso's Horn, or mm-hmm. Girls' Nights Out. Today, I mean, after all the Sex and the City type dramas, we wouldn't be shocked by, you know, these types of films. But in that day, you know, she was really pushing the envelope mm-hmm. in, you know, how Korean women are portrayed in cinema.
Yeah, I think, like, she was really, really brave. So she could open the path for a lot of future generation.
That's right.
So I think a lot of people who work in the film industry are very mm-hmm. thankful for her choices that she made in the past.
Right.
Yeah. And that's quite all the time we have for today's OFD and Chill. Thank you so much, Cynthia. So we'll say goodbye with the song 철수와 미미 by 정인 featuring Gil and Supreme Team in tribute to the movie 미미와 철수, which mm-hmm. of course featured actress Kang Soo-hyun.
That's right.
So let's take a listen. It's 철수와 미미 by 정인 featuring Gil and Supreme Team. 함께 있어 편해졌지 훨씬 더 Girl, 내게 한 번 더 안겨 우린 더 이상 And that brings us to the end of today's One Fine Day. For now, I'll say goodbye today with Zion T and his song 5월의 밤, May. Thank you for tuning in and see you tomorrow. 5월의 밤 기억해요 우리 처음 만난 밤 그 자리 안녕하세요